CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor with Bob Zimmerman. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're going to the surface of the planet Mars to join the brave and extremely sophisticated rover Perseverance, and an anomaly that is challenging the engineers of Perseverance. When last we spoke with Bob, episode one, the Perseverance had done the right thing gathering samples, but some of them had fallen off into the chamber that needs to be cleared before they can continue their experiments. Bob has a photograph up on his site. What's happened, Bob?
Okay, last week they were getting their seventh core sample, and in the process of trying to lower the bit with the core sample, the drill bit with the core sample inside, into its storage carousel, where it was going to be stored for pickup in a sample return mission whenever in the far future, some of the bits of the core broke off at the bottom of the core. It's a core. Think of it, you know, it's like a little pillar, and it's drilled out of the ground, and this is Martian soil, as we can remember. With InSight, it could be more delicate than we'd expect. And so some pieces fell off, and they fell off in the area where the drill bit locks into place when it drops the core into the carousel. And I have the picture that shows that debris. It's like two little pebbles. They're tiny. They're probably very, very small, less than a half inch across, probably more like a few millimeters. But they're there. Just imagine you have you want to thread something together, and you've got dirt in the threads that can prevent you from locking things together. So they've got to get those out. And they designed Perseverance expecting this to, that might happen. And that's what they've told us. And they say that they have a procedure for trying to remove this stuff. I suspect it has to do with tilting the carousel so the pieces fall out. But it's complicated, and they've never done it on Mars before, so they're going step by step, and they announced the plan. The plan is first take photos of the ground, then they're going to do a little bit of rotation of this chassis in the carousel where the debris is, and that little rotation, they hope, will knock the pieces out. And then they'll take pictures of the ground again to see if they can see those pieces on the ground. And then they'll look at it again and decide. And there might be additional things they can do. They have not told us. So we just have to wait and see. I'm not sure if this prevents them from getting any additional samples. I think not. I think this is one core sample deposit point. And if they can't use it, that just means one less sample can be obtained from the rover.
We go from Perseverance in Jezero Crater to Curiosity on Mount Gale. And Curiosity, some results in these last weeks now revealed, and I read what I could from the report in Nature magazine, of a possible explanation for life on Mars in previous epochs. But, Bob, the but is for you to explain.
Yes, okay. So we have to be always very careful because for some reason, both the science community and the press loves when anything is discovered that might, in the farthest reaches of your brain, might suggest life, no matter how unlikely. They scream, life is found, and that's not the case here. What the scientists did is they looked at data from Curiosity, and they detected a very faint enrichment of an isotope of carbon called carbon-12, mostly on the ridgetops, so high points of Gale Crater where the rover has been traveling. Now, carbon-12 has one less neutron than carbon-13, the isotope carbon-13, and because it's a little bit lighter, it's generally on Earth associated with life because it's easier for life to process that lighter carbon-12. And so you get an enrichment on Earth where there's life. That does not mean the enrichment on these hilltops has anything to do with life, not in the slightest. But of course, it is possible. And so they give a whole bunch of different possible explanations for why that carbon-12 is enriched on these ridgetops. Some involving life, some not. Most of the theories are extremely complicated, and, you know, Occam's razor, when it's very complicated, it's likely not true. There is one proposed explanation, though, is quite simple, and it doesn't require ancient microbes or even interstellar clouds. That's one of the non-life theories, that the Mars and the solar system went through an interstellar cloud that enriched this. Why it did it only on the which TOPS isn't explained. Well, anyway, this other theory simply says UV rays can generate this signal of enrichment without any help from biology or interstellar clouds. Remember, there's no magnetic field on Mars, so it's not protected. Its atmosphere is not protected from ultraviolet rays. And the atmosphere itself is mostly carbon dioxide. And so you get UV rays hitting the carbon dioxide that could very easily, and in fact there has been chemical work done to show that could easily result in enrichment of carbon-12. Now, this doesn't explain everything. There's too much uncertainty here. We don't really have a full understanding of the carbon processes on Mars. And so we have to put that aside and just say, well, this is an interesting result. Let's wait to see where it's going to take us.
Right, and they've been tracking methane from the planet for several years, and they find, to my reading, Bob, they found no consistency or no confirmation of methane being released periodically. I'm not talking about ancient methane. I mean ancient organics. I'm talking about present organics. Is that correct, Bob?
That is generally correct, though. The data has some conflicts that hasn't been entirely explained to everybody's satisfaction. Nonetheless, the methane in the atmosphere could very well be coming from this as well.
Yes, Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black on the surface of Mars. There are many more interesting features on the surface that we'll discuss in future. Plus, the next time Bob and I talk, we've got to deal with weightlessness. We've got to deal with that because the ambition to go to Mars and come back requires at least 9 months in a weightless environment, and that might be damaging to long-term health. Next time on the conversation with Behind the Black, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.